Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Thunder. We are pumped up because, bro, we got two wins in a row.
I mean, what do you want? This is the beginning.
Three.
No, wait, time out. Didn't we have a loss there?
I don't know, bro.
Oh, bro. Uh-oh. People, you guys have got us all, like, questioning ourselves now, man. All right, here we go. We're going to figure
out
this.
Bro. We played the Suns.
Suns beat our ass, bro.
Ah, dude. Now, we are officially accused of fumbling out of the gate, bro. Fumbling out of the gate. But you know why I didn't count that as a loss? Because we weren't full strength. And here's the thing that I want to say about this team right now. There's this balance of, like, when we're full strength, we're playing to win. And when we're not, we're playing for player development. And there's going to be games, especially with J-Dub where he's at, with Shea where he's at, where we're not full strength. And those are what we call Jang games. He comes in, he puts up double figures, he gets some blocks, and you know what? Some people can pick on him, and that's fine, but he's going to be great. And a lot of the reason he's going to be great is because the opportunities he gets when he's young.
That's it, man. And a lot of times that we're looking at this and we get, you know, carried away with this or that, but the reality is that where we're at as a team, we need the off days, as you call them. Where Shea is able to relax. I'm glad that he looks like he's not going to be sitting out this game. I'm hoping that means that we're going full blitz on them in the first half and hopefully allowing him to sit and rest the second half. Obviously, we'll see with time what happens with that. But we need to be able to see this full blitz from this team. We need to know what they can do. We need to know what they can put out there on the floor, you know, every single minute of the game, because we don't have Kenny Hustle for that motor that we are typically used to. So we need to figure out what these guys can do. And Jang is playing out of his mind right now. His defense is way better than I thought. His offense is definitely one of those things where when I see him shooting, I'm like, money. Like, his shot is pure. And having a big guy at that height, having a pure shot, you don't see that very often. His release is high. It's quick. You're just going to have him create some major issues. And because of the Kenny Hustle debacle, he's getting a lot of minutes, and he's going to continue getting a lot of minutes because we need that small forward, power forward, you know, shooting guard player out there. And I love the fact that we're playing him in that guard position more than we are playing him in the forward position, because I think that's the future for him.
It is. And we're seeing him be kind of like a transition player where he can play either position depending on the game. We play a lot of, you know, four on the perimeter anyway. So it really comes down to a defensive matchup like you're talking about, right? So let's talk about defense, bro, because that was the signature of the game against the Pelicans, bro. We were out and running from the beginning. Shea had three steals in the first quarter.
We set the tone early. That's what it's all about, is when you come out there and you're basically telling the other team that we're playing, we're not going to put up with your bullshit. We're going to come out here and we're going to make sure you guys know we're here. And it's not an offensive mind set out there. That's what we saw. Yes, we were able to score in the first quarter, but our defense just cut everything out. And they weren't able to come back from that. They just weren't. You know, once they got knocked down, it was us maintaining, which we're, you know, amazing at, maintaining that lead. Whether we talked about last night, whether they go on a quick run or we're able to maintain them from stopping going on that run, we're able to keep that lead and move forward. And again, people will talk about this game saying it was close at the end, but it really wasn't. It wasn't close at all. Like, I think most of the game it was 14-point plus lead, and it just went back and forth, back and forth. And we had a bad third quarter. I would say bad third quarter comparatively to what you usually have. But I felt like this team played incredibly well the other three quarters. So this is exactly what we need. The defensive minded attitude out there, because that's what wins championships in the long run.
Right. And let's get to the point, bro, because we really want to talk about J-Dub. J-Dub has been able to be a defensive first player early in the season, but now his offense game is coming along, and there's a lot of hype that's starting around. It's a little bit late in the season for this to start, but the rookie of the year conversation, bro, and I'm going to go ahead and yield you the full floor. You go ahead and tell me what you think.
All right. Well, first of all, you kind of understand where J-Dub is playing right now. They're marking him as a forward on ESPN in most places just because of that's where he's being forced to play, right? But he's not. He's a guard. And understanding that is the most important thing, because what he's doing out there as a rookie, as a guard, is the most impressive thing. I can chop this up in any way you want, but let's just go with some stats right now, okay? J-Dub is the only guard only guard in the top 30 in the league in field goal percentages. Think about that, guys.
Efficiency.
Efficiency. Not just efficiency, but uber efficient. All right? He is learning how to score at such a high rate that he is leading all guards in field goal percentage. And it's mind-boggling, guys, because if you look at it, Fox is 31, Shea is 34, and you can go down this list, and there's a number of really great guards that all fall underneath J-Dub. That's Curry, that's Beal, like that's everybody. If you're a guard in the NBA, and yes, Mark, you mentioned it, you know, the amount of shots that these other guys are taking, but to me, it's about what he is doing to get to the hole, to make it a quality shot. And I think that's the key, is that we've never seen a rookie like him. We can say this 100 times, and I will continue saying this, is that I have never seen a rookie like J-Dub. From the moment that he started in the league to the moment he is now, that the improvement that he has had is so massive that we have to take a step back and not just say, guys, like start yelling it from the rooftops. J-Dub deserves to be rookie of the year. There is no doubt in my mind the way that he is allowing us to even be in the playoff conversation. Guys, think about that. J-Dub has played so well. He has put us in a playoff position right now. What other rookie has done that this year?
Right. And that's
and on top of that, guys, he's done it at leading our team in field goal percentages with Shea on the team. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, he is at an incredibly high level. Not only that, but he's playing such incredible defense that he's going to be in talks of being in the all-defensive team this year, guys. In talks. I don't know if he'll make it or not, but he'll be in talks about it because of what he is doing. He is that big of a lockdown defender that he's guarding LeBron James, that he's guarding Damian Lillard, that he's guarding Beal, that he's guarding across the board. He had to guard Curry the other night, and then he had to play Clay, and then he just gets thrown across the board, and he does everything that he's supposed to and gets out there and plays so hard and so well. How can you even say that there's another rookie that's even equivalent to him right now? There's not. Yeah, I understand. Paolo is a great rookie, all right? He's a great scorer, okay? But can he hit a three right now? Hell no. Can he play defense? Not like J-Dub. Definitely not like J-Dub. Okay, can he score more points than J-Dub right now? Yeah, sure. But slightly, if you only look in the last 10 games.
And it takes him...
slightly.
Like, he gets, like, 1 point per shot for those extra shots. So he averages, what, 5 more points a game, and he gets 5 more shots? Like, what would J-Dub do with those 5 more shots? Obviously, he's efficient enough that we can extrapolate that it would be pretty nice.
He's the next level player. And when I come out and say that I believe that J-Dub is going to have a legendary rookie or second year season, it's because I feel like he's already having a legendary rookie season.
Right.
I'll put it like this. The Oklahoma City Thunder, we've had some incredible rookies through the years. Not one of them is equivalent to what J-Dub is doing right now. Just think about that, guys.
So
not one of the rookies that we have had is equivalent to what J-Dub is showing that he is capable of doing. And that's KD, that's Russ, that's James Harden. I mean, that goes down the list. I have no shame in saying that J-Dub is the best rookie that we have ever had.
So why is it that it's so hard to get him attention? Why is he not getting more love? Is it the Santa Clara thing? Is it the Thunder thing? Is it people's expectations of the team were so low or what?
Well, let's just put it out there. J-Dub comes from a small market college to a small market team. You know, he was an underrated guard going into the college process. I think he was like, 6'1 or 6'2 when he was going to college and grew like an enormous amount of inches. So, like, he is an underdog in every stretch of the imagination. Like, some guys have it. Some guys are like the Ball brothers that they get all the spotlight and they all think they're going to be superstars, right? And everybody stops and is like, oh, hail the Balls. All hail Balls, right? But the reality is that sometimes there's guys like J-Dub that slip through the system, that slip through the cracks, the Kawhis, the Giannises, the Jokers. Like, there's
the Shays
littered in the NBA. There's littered in NFL. There's literally an MLB of guys that people didn't think had what it takes to come back and do crazy, amazing things. That's as simple as that. So for us to say that J-Dub is that next best player, not just for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, there was a podcast, and I won't say which podcast, they said that J-Dub is the next best player in Oklahoma City. They sold it short, guys. They sold it short. J-Dub is the next best player in the NBA. And the more he plays, the more people are starting to recognize that. And that's why he deserves to get this recognition for the rookie year. And that's why he's sitting at number two on that list. It's not because he's proven that he can play out there. It's because he's proving he's playing at such a higher level than everybody else that it's just a matter of time before he puts more separation, Paolo and him.
So, all right. So I agree for the most part, but the question is, does he have enough games? Does he have enough opportunities to get the NBA voters' attention to prove it? And I do think he's going to be the best player in the draft. I think efficiency is so important when it comes to how many shots a team wants you to take. And sure, Paolo can get away with being inefficient as the number one pick, but at some point, the pick number you are stops being as important as, you know, whether or not you're helping your team win. And the most important thing in the NBA is efficiency when it comes to shots. So J-Dub is off the charts, and it's easy to look at him and say he's dunking everything and think maybe he's just a dunker, but he's not. It's his array of different types of shots that he can shoot from within the arc, from the paint, and now he's adding the step back three, he's adding the catch and shoot three. That's something he was capable of, but he wasn't able to find the rhythm on the court, and now that's coming too. So he's a problem on the defensive end. He's got it, but in the end, I'm worried that the voters are too dense to realize how good J-Dub is. And in the end, he's going to be the best player from the class. As far as like one of the best players in the NBA, I would challenge everybody to just think about one factor, right? If Shai wasn't on this team, if our best young player was J-Dub, right? How would you feel? Because there's always this tendency to say, and it happened with Russ and KD, right? Russ can't be an MVP. KD's our MVP. Well, sometimes you can have two MVPs on the team. And if one player can't reach his peak unless the other player, you know, leaves, that's not necessarily a good thing. And the question I would have for everybody listening is this. If you were to look at J-Dub and he was on a different team and you believe that team had a bright future, would you look at him and think he is a potential future MVP?
If you're looking at the young guys in this draft and you're saying which of the players are going to be MVP caliber in the next 5 to 7 years, J-Dubs leads that list.
Right. And
I mean,
a good way to look at it is how has he played since the game against LeBron?
Maybe Kessler. Maybe Kessler has an opportunity.
No, listen, he'll be right. But whatever. Like, think about it like this. Since LeBron, dude, he's averaged over 20 a game. I think he's averaging like 2 steals a game. He's averaging like 5 rebounds, 5 assists. If you take and you say, just stick with me, guys, 28, 7, and 7, and 2, and a block, that's MVP numbers. It might not be the MVP, but those are numbers historically that put you in the conversation. That might not even be the best on his own team, and that's fine. That's fine. We don't have to compare J-Dub to Shai, but that's the temptation that a lot of us fall into because they're on the same team. Compare him to the rest of the league because it's not fair to either of them to compare J-Dub to Shai and put J-Dub's cap somewhere underneath Shai's cap because they're on their own timelines. And let's face it, there are things that J-Dub does better than Shai, and Shai will never be able to do as good as J-Dub. Shai will never be able to dunk the ball like J-Dub. Shai may never be able to shoot the three ball like J-Dub. Well,
so wait, tell me. Are you saying that you think in a linear scale that J-Dub has a higher ceiling than Shai?
I would say that there's really only a couple of things that Shai does better than J-Dub. And I think things J-Dub can learn. So you tell me what I'm saying.
Wow. I love it, dude. Like, listen, on top of that, bro, people saying it.
If you look at where Shai was when he came into the league, at doing the things that he does well, and you look at where J-Dub is far above where Shai was at that same point.
Sure, but they are different in ages.
They are different in ages, but think about it like this. Shea's ability to finish inside the arc, J-Dub's ability to finish inside the arc, they're really not that different, except for this. You know, if you give Shea 25 shots, you can expect him to stay fairly efficient throughout the course of that. We're still not sure about J-Dub, but that's for him to prove. That's for him to put the work in the offseason. That's for him to come back and be like, look, I'm better. Because there's people who compare him to LeBron.
Yeah.
People who compare him to Michael Jordan. People who compare him to Kobe. And just to be like, but he can't be as good as Shea. Like, is Shea as good as those guys yet? Like, come on, guys.
I love it, man. I love the hype train. I love thinking about what he could do and what he can become. Because I do think J-Dub's special. And not just special. I think that in time, you know, time will tell how good he is. But I've never seen even a second-year player get to the hole like him. You know, like, that's what's so incredible is that people are like, oh, whoa. Stop saying that J-Dub can score, you know, 28 to 30 points a game. Like, if J-Dub wants to score 28 to 30 points a game next season, that's what he's going to do. Like, no one's going to stop him. No one's going to slow him down. Like, the only thing he's going to get better at is his three-point shot and getting to the hole better.
And through the free throw
meaning
line.
That he'll be more effective and more efficient. If he's going to be already top 27 in efficiency right now and in field goal percentage, I'm telling you right now, next year he'll be top 15. And then if we're looking at him as a top 15 as a guard, think about that, guys. When has a guard been in the top 15 as field goal percentages? Because that's what big men are made for. You know, like, think about that. The list, 26 names in front of J-Dub. Not one of them are a guard. Not one. They're all centers and a couple power forwards thrown in there and one or two small forwards. That is it, guys.
Yo, and on top of that, the most exciting players in the league to watch are guards who dunk the ball.
Yeah.
They just are. And he's leading the league in that. And you go historically, how many rookies have led the league in that? And you're just thinking, holy shit, bro. This guy is going to be everywhere. Like, he is the future face of the NBA. And guess what? So is Shea. So is Josh Giddey. So is Chet.
So is Chet.
Thanks, guys. We love you.
That's it.
We're going to see you soon.
Tonight, baby. Tonight.
Join us live. And don't forget, we have post-game pods that are exclusive for YouTube. Jump on YouTube and listen to those if you want to hear our breakdowns. They're short, but they're sexy, baby.
Short and sweet, baby.
Love you. We'll see you soon.